Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Bonnie Kay in the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments you would like to make during this broadcast, you can either call them in at area code 646-716-4893, or you can feel free to email me at bonk@aol.com. Before I introduce my very special guest for tonight, I just want to make a few announcements that we're now working on our healing retreat for Houston that's coming up for March 1st to March 2nd. And just hearing the name Houston always makes me excited because I know I have my girlfriends down there in Texas who will be joining me. And once a year, I can really use their spirit to keep me moving throughout the year. And like I say, it's a really wonderful event to meet other people who are in sync with you, who know exactly how you feel, who are going to help in rebuilding your life and help you along that passageway of gay husband recovery. We're also going to have some wonderful guest speakers throughout our retreat who are really going to help us on issues such as how this affects the older children in the family, also health and nutrition issues, and other therapeutic kinds of speakers. So it should be a really dynamic event. It's going to be in Houston, March 1st and March 2nd. We'll begin the festivities on February 28th, some of us, before it starts. So if you're interested in joining me and some other wonderful women, please write to me at bonk@aol.com. That's B-O-N-K-A-Y-E @aol.com. I also wanted to mention that now we've moved our Tuesday chats to Tuesday afternoons, United States time, because some people are home during the day and they can't make it at night because of family issues. So our afternoon chats on Tuesday, which I call our international chats because we have women there from the United Kingdom as well as other countries, even last week from Finland. So people are coming from all over the world. And that's at 3:30 Eastern Standard Time on Tuesdays. If you need information on how to join our chat room, just write to me at bonk@aol.com, and I'll be very happy to send you the information for that. So without further ado, I want to welcome my dear friend and special guest tonight, Grace from Texas. Hi, Grace.
Hi, Bonnie. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. How bad could I be doing? I have you on the phone.
Aw, trapped, aren't you sweet?
Trapped like my prisoner here on the phone, saying you have to come on my show, Grace, because people love to listen to you. But I really do appreciate it because I know that, you know, when you do come on, it does help so many people. So I'm really thrilled that you're willing to come back every few months and really reassure women of what they're going through for those women who can never get a confession and for those women who have those straight gay husbands, as I call them, that, you know, that they shouldn't have to feel like they're crazy or going out of their minds because if anybody understands that, you do, correct?
Right. Absolutely.
So, Grace, for people who are just starting to listen to our show or haven't heard you before, can you tell them a little bit about your story?
Sure. I'm going to make it really brief, though.
Okay.
I was married to a straight man for 17 years and had two children with him, and he was abusive, and I left, and I didn't really ever want to get married again. I just wanted it to be me and my two children, but I met a man who had never been married before. He was 11 years younger than I was, and very sweet, kind, compassionate, caring, and he kind of won my heart, and I ended up marrying him, and things were very bad, right from the beginning. The courtship was fine, but after the marriage took place, it went downhill very quickly. Intimacy was pretty much non-existent, and we were married for, at the time that he left, it was 8 years, but we went through a year-long divorce process, so technically we were married 9 years, but in 2007, I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and 2 weeks after my diagnosis, he walked out, And at the time, it was devastating, but I was so focused in on getting well that I really didn't have a chance to think about it too much. But in hindsight, it was a gift he gave me by leaving. And we were divorced in 2008, and in 2010, I was working in Florida at the time, and I had an old computer that he used in his office, and I was going to throw it away, but I wanted to check the hard drive, and so I did, and that's where I found the gay pornography, chat rooms, emails, and all that. Well, at the time, I was relieved. We were already divorced, and I was relieved to know what the problem was. My downward spiral didn't happen until after I found out he was getting remarried, and then those doubts about myself surfaced big time, and I also was very angry at him for doing this to another woman, but in walked Bonnie Kay in my life and changed things dramatically, and it's been a process over the past 3 years, but I can assure women that are listening tonight or that are going to listen to the broadcast later that things do get better, and it's just you have to start off taking baby steps. And I never got a confession, and I never will, and as far as he knows, I don't know about him, even though I do.
Well, I think the hardest part, you know, for the women that come to me, or the hardest group of women that have to go through this, are the women whose husbands get remarried.
Right.
Because, you know, they not only do they feel inadequate because the whole marriage was a failure, and they find out that their husbands were involved in gay activities, but now they're off marrying some other woman. So, in other words, they start thinking, well, maybe could it have been me? Was
yes.
he doing this because I wasn't satisfying him as a woman? How come some other woman can satisfy him enough to marry her? And, you know, what was wrong with me? Why couldn't I be that woman?
Right.
And I think these are the, you know, doubts that are expressed to me the most by the women who go through what you went through, Grace, because, you know, not all gay married men, you know, marry again, but I would say about maybe 10% are part of that straight gay husband, you know, profile that, you know, they'll get married again and again and again because they just can't stand the thought that somebody might think they're gay.
Right.
And they need a constant cover. So,
absolutely.
But I know it is so hard on the women who come to us in that situation.
Yeah. I would think this was the garbage I was putting in my brain, but I would constantly be thinking afterwards, after I found out he was getting married again, was, is she going to have the husband that I always wanted? And you said something so profound, and I don't remember if it was directly to me or if it was on one of your radio programs, but you said, man, that woman has a lot, you're giving her a lot of power if she can change him. And that made so much sense to me, and now I realize that she's going to have the same closeted narcissist that I had. So
exactly.
You know,
and that part
doesn't
change, you know, that part,
no,
you know, these
no,
men are who they are. And, you know, the funny thing is they're even who they are when they find a male partner. It's not like they're going to change now because they have a gay partner. I mean, I know with my ex-husband, the same problems I had with him when he would get involved with other men, they were having those same problems with him.
Right.
They used to come to me for help and guidance because they didn't know how to handle it. So whoever these men marry again, those women are going to be in the same position. It's not like they're going to have a happier or a better life. It's going to be the same miserable life that you had to have. Don't you agree with that?
I agree. And, you know, we all have been with a gay man. And but there's differences in our relationships. All of us have differences, whether they might have been great fathers or horrible fathers. They might have been rageaholics and not rageaholics. But the one thing that ties us all together is that we were married to a gay man. And I believe that from the bottom of my heart that they'll never, ever, ever change their personality. And they're such narcissists that they don't think that there's anything wrong with them. It's always the other person. And they're straight men that are narcissists. My my first husband, the straight man, was a narcissist too. So they drain you of everything that you've got. And they're kind of like caged animals, only the cage is the marriage, but it's a self-imposed cage. They place themselves there. But just like all these, you hear about these animals that attack their trainers. The one that sticks out in my mind is Ziegfeld and Roy, when back in 2002 or 2003, a tiger or something had attacked one of them, and
he's in really
dire shape. But
terrible.
I believe that's kind of what they are, is that they're in a relationship or in their cage that they don't deserve. I mean, that they don't need to be in. They don't belong there, and so they turn on the person that is caring for them and loving them. And so that's kind of best analogy I can put, is the cage is the marriage, but they put themselves in there. And also, these men, Bonnie, are so, everything about them is contradictory. They want to marry us, and then we become the enemy. They tell
us
that they're unhappy, yet when we start asking questions, then it's us that's unhappy. Everything about them is contradictory. And so...
Well, I think there's a good reason for that too, Grace. You know, when you live a lie every day of your life,
right?
And you have to live with your own, you know, version of the truth, which does become your version eventually. You know, they used to say in Nazi Germany, and I mean this is true, that with Hitler, who took over, you know, most of Europe there, they said he kept telling all these horrible things about Jewish people, and you know, then it became the Catholic people. You know, just kept progressing. And,
right.
You know, he said, if you repeat a lie enough times, people will start to believe it.
Right.
And even more so with these gay husbands, they keep lying to themselves, and they start to believe their own lies. And
again,
this is not a reflection at all on gay people who are authentic gay people. This is just for men who are in hiding. And talking about that, I did want to discuss with you, because it's kind of along the same topic, and it really disturbed me today, that there's an article that came out in the New York Times Sunday Review. A friend of mine sent me the article. And it's an article called How Many American Men Are Gay? And it's by Seth Stevens Davidovitz. And if you would like a copy of it, you can just email me at bondk@aol.com. And the article starts off, it says, what percent of American men are gay? This question is notoriously difficult to answer. Historical estimates range from about 2% to 10%. But somewhere in the exabytes of data that human beings create every day are answers to even the most challenging questions. Using surveys, social networks, pornographic searches, and dating sites, I recently studied evidence on the number of gay men. The data used to this analysis is available in highly aggregated form only and can be downloaded from the publicly accessible sites. While none of these data sources are ideal, they combine to tell a consistent story. At least 5% of American men, I estimate, are predominantly attracted to men. And millions of gay men still live to some degree in the closet. Gay men are half as likely as straight men to acknowledge their sexuality on the social networks. More than one quarter of gay men hide their sexuality from anonymous surveys. The evidence also suggests that a large number of gay men are married to women. There are three sources that can give us estimates of the openly gay population broken down state by state. And he goes through all the different senses, you know, from state to state, and showing that less tolerant states show smaller percentages of gay men, but far fewer openly gay men. And there's a clear relationship between tolerance and openness, you know, and he goes on about that, okay. But really what disturbed me was how this article ended. And this is just so typical of everything that we keep talking about. And this author says that he was trying to do some research, and he said, Craigslist, let's look at this from a different angle. I analyzed ads for males looking for casual encounters. The percentage of these ads that are seeking casual encounters with men tend to be larger in less tolerant states, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So anyway, so he says, sometimes even I get tired of looking at the data, so I asked a psychiatrist in Mississippi who specializes in helping closeted gay men if any of his patients might want to talk to me. One man contacted me. He told me that he was a retired professor in his 60s, married to the same woman for more than 40 years. About 10 years ago, overwhelmed with stress, he saw the therapist and finally acknowledged his sexuality. He has always known he was attracted to men, he says, but thought that that was normal and something that men hid. Shortly after beginning therapy, he had his first and only gay sexual encounter with a student of his in his late 20s, an experience he describes as wonderful. He and his wife do not have sex. He says that he would feel guilty ever ending his marriage or openly dating a man. He regrets virtually every one of his major life decisions. The retired professor and his wife will go another night without romantic love, without sex. Despite enormous progress, the persistence of intolerance will cause millions of other Americans to do the same. So I got very upset because this goes right back to, you know, what we're talking about with these straight gay men, that right. The retired professor and his wife will go another night without romantic love, without sex. And, you know, like kind of feel bad for the retired professor. I mean, he has a choice in what he's doing, but what about his wife? Does she have any choice? And all I could think about is for 40 years how she probably tried, felt like a failure because he couldn't have sex with her or didn't want to have sex with her because she's a woman. And he said that he would feel guilty ever ending his marriage. Why would he feel guilty ending his marriage? I mean, instead he'd rather stay with a woman and make her feel inadequate. And I think that's the problem I have with these guys. It's like they're always telling me, well, if I leave my marriage, I'm going to feel guilty. But no, it's okay to live in a marriage, making your wife feel she's inadequate and you don't feel guilty about that.
Right.
But once again, they don't see this point of view. You know, they don't look at it from our point of view. They're only looking at it from their own point of view. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. And I'm the one thing that jumped out at about this article to me is, though, at least the author of it, the writer, mentioned the wife. Normally,
mm-hmm.
we just kind of get pushed to the side, you know. And
mm-hmm.
but yes, they have no guilt of what they're doing to us. It's all about them. It just goes back to that whole scenario. Is it's all about them. I have a real.
And even the sympathy.
Yes.
In the sympathy, once again, they're talking about him and how, you know, he's going to have another. I mean, even it says they're going to have another. It's like nothing about what she's going through. It's always about them. We have
right.
a caller on the line, Grace. Let's see who's calling.
Okay.
Excuse me one second. Hi, this is Bonnie and Grace.
Hello, Bonnie and Grace. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm calling from the Midwest. My name is Pianchi. I was going to ask a question, but what about the risk of the transmission of diseases when you're
right.
with a husband that's engaging in that sort of behavior?
Well, about 20% of our women in our group do have sexually transmitted diseases from their husbands. They have the gift that lasts forever.
Yeah, and I think that is very horrible. You know, I think that not only should husbands who, of course, if they did, they wouldn't probably marry a woman anyway, but that should be revealed. And not only that,
absolutely.
Let's take this a little bit further. I think that if a person that's teaching children that they should reveal their sexual preference so that the parents should know. Parents have a right to know because they are given a responsibility to protect the innocence of their child. And I wonder what you think
that
about
mean?
That. Well, if a teacher is gay, then I think that a parent should know that their teacher is
Why would that have to do with anything as far as teaching?
Well, let me tell you.
Okay.
at some point in time, yes, how about if you, the parents, who didn't want your children to be exposed to that at the tender age? And, you know, some teachers have pictures on their desk with their partner. And then your child see his or her teacher there with a picture of them in a intimate position, whether hugging, kissing, however, with someone of the same sex.
Yeah, well, I don't want you to get the wrong impression. We are very pro-gay on this show. We're just not pro-gay people not being honest about it, but we are very pro-gay. I mean, as far as people, you know, living their lives and being open and honest, I mean, that's what we are about. We say people don't have a choice in being gay. They have a choice in being honest about it.
Well, I agree with you, and I think that would be honest also. It's not that I have any animosity about a person, whatever. That's their business. But I think that when it comes down to something delicate, it's your child, I think that it should be known. Because
and
then the parent would have an option of whether to keep their child there or not.
You mean a parent should take a child out of school because the teacher's gay?
Take it out of the classroom. Put it in another class. And they have done it for other reasons.
Well, that's really scary, isn't it?
Well, no.
How can we ever say there should be equality for gay people if we don't even want to keep our children in a classroom where somebody's gay? I don't even get that. Do you agree?
No. I think, and I may be presuming something, but I think that there's a lot of misinformation out there about gay people, that they might abuse their children or whatever, and that's not the case.
Is that what you were talking about, sir?
Well, it may not have to be physical abuse, but it could be some sort of, I'm not saying that it's abuse, but it could be looked upon by a child as something that maybe they should look at some time in their life and doing. I've seen parents take their children out of a classroom because the teacher had an accent, and it said that the children was having a difficult time understanding rather than concentrating on what it is that the teacher was speaking.
What if the religion's not the right religion? Should they take them out for that reason, too?
Well,
let's say you're a Christian and you have a Jewish teacher. Would you say, well, I don't want somebody learning from a Jewish teacher because they don't believe in Jesus?
That is a good point.
Right. I mean,
that is a good point.
So, like, at what point do we stop and start? I mean,
well,
once
the worms get out of the can, then how much of the worm comes out and how many?
I don't know. I mean, I just feel that I'd rather take a chance than people being honest. I don't think that homosexuality is contagious. It's not like a disease that you can catch. I mean, just people are born differently. I mean, shouldn't we? I mean, isn't that what love is about? It's about appreciating other people. You don't have to be one of them. You don't have to have their sexual, you know, needs or desires or personalities. But, I mean, do you think that gay people, there's something wrong with being gay?
Oh, I don't think there's nothing wrong with being gay, nor do I think that there's nothing wrong with people who don't want to be that way.
Absolutely.
I think that, like you say, I think that people should be honest about it. And the honesty has to do with people making choices.
Right, but you're saying now people should have a choice if they know somebody's gay, whether they want to stay in their classroom or not.
Whether they want their children to stay in the classroom, yes.
Right, because what do you think that's going to happen if they stay in the classroom?
It's those unknown things that scares you the most.
Right, that's my whole point, you know, and it's a lot of it is, you know, once again, just plain prejudice based on, non-reality? I mean, are you afraid your child's going to be sexually assaulted by a gay teacher?
Well, as people just don't know, and as prejudice, some prejudice is good, some discrimination is good, just so long you don't offend someone's rights, civil rights, and the protections that's given to them by the Constitution.
Right. So what I'm saying is you're saying that if somebody's openly gay, then parents should have a choice if they want to have their child taken out. And
at the tender age, yeah. At the age
Jewish,
of a child, yes.
And if you're Jewish, then if you're a Christian parent, you should have that choice to take a child out. And what happens if somebody's black? Do you have the same choice to take your child out because you don't like the cultural and traditions that a black teacher could teach a child?
I've seen that exercise when it came down to a doctor and a parent not wanting his child to be administered by a black doctor, and the hospital obliged.
Well, you know, all I can say is that I'm from the East Coast, so I'm really not familiar with, you know, I know it goes on. I know that in certain parts of the country, certainly in the Midwest, you know, and in the South, there are people who have their prejudices. But, you know, I think we're trying to get past that. You know, I think that all people are created in God's eyes as God's people, and even if we're all different, do you feel that way?
Well, I think that I don't believe that all people are created equally. People are human beings, but of course they're not created equal. Some person that's born a Rockefeller is going to be different than Joe the Plumber's children. But and believe me, I don't have
right. They're born luckier, but it doesn't mean they're born better or worse. They could be better off.
Well, in the process of a woman becoming conceived, it is a matter of luck.
The thing is that there are predators everywhere, and they don't have to be gay. If you'll remember, there was a young teacher, very beautiful young teacher in Florida, that
sexually abused
a
female.
Yes.
Oh, man.
And so we all, as parents, and I am a parent of two, and they're grown now, but that comes back to having open, honest communication with your children, and especially as they age, and you need to be open and honest with them about someone touching them and what to do if that happens. And it doesn't have to be about a gay person. It can be about anyone. And I respect your opinion, but I disagree with you about we have laws in this country about you can't ask people about their sexual preference or anything like that. I think it would keep a lot of very, very good teachers out of the educational system if we started blackballing them because of certain aspects of their religion or their race or their sexual preference. So I, as much as
well,
I
you know,
appreciate
at one point, at one point in this country, we blackballed actors because of their affiliation with the Communist Party.
And was that correct to do that? Look how many people's lives were destroyed because they were innocent.
Yeah, you're right. But I think that, I do think that parents should have a right to place their child, a choice to place their child where they feel that it's going to be beneficial, more beneficial for the child. Of course, once
does that mean that a gay person can't be a good teacher?
No, it doesn't mean that a gay person can't be a good teacher. I didn't say that. I said that I think that whether it's a good teacher or not, if a parent does not want their child in that particular environment, I think that a parent has a right to, don't you?
Well, I think then they should put them in a special private school where you don't have any, you know, kind of people.
Oh, I agree. I agree with that, too. I agree. That's why I come
out. Public education, it has to be open to everybody. I mean, there
are schools,
I'm sure.
Well, that's why I come out pro-voucher. I'm pro-voucher. I think parents who don't want to have their children in the public school for whatever reason, there's a lot of them, that they should have a right to choice. And they should have vouchers that where they can take their child where they feel it's best for them.
How about the how about are there other gay children in the school? Do they have to be exposed to them also?
Do they have to be exposed to the other gay children?
Are you going to tell children who are gay they can't come to that school?
Well, I'm not saying that, you know, I haven't got to that particular worm yet, and I understand what you're saying.
Like, where does it start and where does it stop? You know, you can't live in a world where you're just inside of a cocoon.
I think it stops where
I
think it stops where the parent feels that they're more comfortable for their child.
Right, and I understand that. I also understand gay children who don't feel comfortable going to a school where they're going to be, you know, bullied and made fun of because they're gay, which they have no choice in. Do you believe that gay is a choice?
Do I believe that gay is a choice?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I believe it's a choice, yes. I've seen reports where it said that they're not born that way. You know, it's a funny thing you mentioned about these, where does it stop? There's an instance that's where a young lady who was wearing an African-American, not an African-American, but a black young lady who had a natural hairstyle, and she was told that it was causing a distraction, and she had to change it.
All right. Well, I appreciate your comments. I don't agree with them, but it's always good to hear from people because it shows us that people do have different points of view.
Yeah,
that,
I appreciate your program.
And
I do agree that if your husband's gay, you should come out and tell the wife. Therefore, she wouldn't be at risk with not only the diseases, but the mental anguish of thinking that something's wrong with her.
Well, thank you for listening
and
keeping an open mind. And have a good night. Bye-bye. Hi, Grace.
Hi.
Yes. Well, like I say, it's always, I think, interesting to hear people's points of view.
Right.
To show you how far we really still have to come in life before this can be an issue.
Right. Well, I mean, he did... he does understand about the plight of all of us women, but I, like I said, there are predators everywhere. There's predators in churches. There's predators in schools. There's predators out there in other activities, soccer coaches, and everything. But they're not gay and.
I know. I think what people need to understand is that, right.
I had a gay teacher in the fourth grade, and it was a male. And, I mean, he didn't have pictures on his desk of anybody, but he was a gay man. And at the time, I did not know what that was, but my parents did. But he was one of the best teachers I've ever had. So... a very good educator. So I can't imagine pulling my child out of someone's class.
No, I don't really quite understand it, to be honest with you, unless people really still feel in this day and age that kids are going to be molested by gay teachers, which is something I was hoping had ended, you know, many years ago. I mean, it's so important to me for people to understand that just because somebody is gay doesn't make them a pedophile. And unfortunately, gay people really do get the bad rap on that. I mean, I don't agree with a lot of things within the gay community on a political level, especially, you know, concerning our situation. But, my goodness, they certainly have been persecuted throughout the ages and, you know, made to feel as if, you know, their lives have been hell and that they're going to hell for being gay. And, you know, that doesn't excuse men who marry us. But, you know, like I said, I always understand why people do it, hoping and thinking that if they do this, they're not going to be gay. But as soon as they realize they are going to be gay, they really need to be honest with their wives and do the right thing. But that only makes up for, you know, a certain small, maybe 20% of the gay community.
Right.
The rest of the gay community are living authentic lives and, you know, certainly have been persecuted for it. I feel really bad because I have a friend, she's a lesbian, and, you know, we've known each other, you know, for a few years, but we had a background of knowing some of the same similar people. And she was telling me the other day, she's, you know, in her late 50s, how difficult life has been having to live behind closets and, you know, how her family would have rejected her right away if they knew. And, you know, she just wanted to live an authentic life. She said, I could have gotten married, she says, but I just couldn't do that to somebody. But on the other hand, she felt bad because at her age, she still has a girlfriend who wants to hide it from her family. And she thinks, you know, I just want to be out. I want to be open. You know, I don't want to have to lie and sneak around corners. And I guess it would be really hard for me to spend a lifetime having to live like that. But I think as long as people have attitudes, which is why I let that gentleman go on and keep talking, because I want the people to understand why a lot of people will never come out of a closet.
Yeah, and
you know,
when keep that attitude. And like I said, I respect his opinion. He has the right to his opinion. That's what's so wonderful about our country. But that attitude keeps more and more people in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
When people are, I mean, there could be wonderful teachers out there that, or people that want to become teachers, and but they have that fear of if they're ever found out that they are gay or whatever, that they're going to lose their position in a school. Or it goes back to what you've talked about so many times, Bonnie, about us, we as women that have children with a gay man, and I don't, so I can't address that as far as myself, but there becomes a time where you have to talk to your children in age-appropriate terms about homosexuality. It's out there, it's real, and it's always been here, and it's always going to be here. And when you have good communication with your children and explain things to them, of course, age-appropriate, then they don't become afraid of it. And this is the thing. A child could go into a classroom with a male teacher that's a straight male teacher, and he has a secret and lives a life that nobody knows about and could be just as big a predator as a gay man that was a teacher or a lesbian.
No, I think in most cases there are far more straight predators than there are gay predators. Statistics
right.
prove that
and
out.
Right, so, I think a lot of studies have been done on pedophilia and homosexuality, and that
mm-hmm.
is not the case. Yes, there are predators out there that are homosexual men, but I think they're very few and far between. And but like I said,
they are, and I think a lot of part of it is because, you know, the gay community views sexuality somewhat differently than we may traditionally view it. And they certainly do not advocate, you know, child sex. I mean, certainly there are predators who are gay for children, but there are far more predators who are straight who go after children. And, you know, a lot of times people confuse homosexuality with predators. And that's why, you know, I really try to explain to people that one thing has nothing to do with the other. I mean, a pedophile is a pedophile. And it has nothing to do with pointing a finger at gay people. You know, these are pedophiles, and a lot of them will go after any child. They don't care if they're straight or gay.
Right.
You know, so they're just after children, and it's a power issue. And it has nothing to do with homosexuality. I mean, look at all the straight, you know, straight predators there are also who go after children. But I just, you know, even though I do agree with you, people are entitled to their rights and their points of view, I just feel so uncomfortable. And it was nothing personal against this man per se. I just feel uncomfortable with that attitude because
right.
I take a look around and I realize, you know, like he was saying, well, I'm right. You know, I'm Jewish. Maybe, you know, there are people who wouldn't feel comfortable having me as their teacher because I don't believe in Jesus. Or, you know, maybe somebody's black. Somebody doesn't feel, like he was saying, they don't feel comfortable having a black doctor, you know, treat a white patient. You know, where does it begin and where does it end? But I just see that gay people struggle so much because of this kind of prejudice.
You know, and this kind of changing the subject, but I have a friend who refuses to go to a gynecologist that's a man. And I think that is so bizarre. I mean...
Oh, no, I know a lot of people like that, Grace.
Yeah, but, I mean, that to me, that is just so strange. Then I have had another friend who said she would never go to a gynecologist that's a woman. So There's prejudice. The prejudice, I know this for a fact, prejudice is alive and well in the United States, and that saddens me. And
I think more so with the gynecologist, though, it's more of a, you know, some women have really had, you know, abusive situations sexually with men, and I think the thought of any man touching them, you know, triggers those kind of memories.
Yeah,
so I can understand that a little more so. But when it's just prejudice because of, you know, somebody's sexuality or religion or color, that really disturbs me because, you know, I faced that for a large portion of my life, you know, being Jewish in different parts of the country that I used to travel in. And, you know, certainly it wasn't the same kind of backlash as gay people get all the time because it doesn't matter what city they're in, you know, You know, there's always plenty of prejudice against gay people. But what, you know, women have to realize is that the more prejudice there is against gay people, the more likely they're going to turn to women to get married because they don't want people knowing they're gay. And that's my whole point.
Right.
We have to be the advocates for gay rights because until gays are treated equally, they're going to feel this need not to be gay and have to run into marriages with women like us just so they don't have to be gay.
Yep.
Do you agree with that?
Well, that kind of opens the door. I think you need to write another book, Bonnie. I think your book needs to be on the things that people say. You know, you wrote a book about gay husbands say the darndest things. I think you need to write another book about the things that people say. I had a woman, it's a friend of my aunt's, and she's an elderly woman, but my aunt had told her that I was married to a gay man. And her response was, well, if she had had more sex with him, he wouldn't have been gay. And I laughed because I thought, that's the last thing he wants, to have more sex with me.
I know. Like, what is it like? People don't get this. I mean, you know.
They don't. And, but, you know, Bonnie, I can laugh about it in the fact that how can I expect them to understand it when for so many years I didn't understand it and I was with him, you know. So, but, yeah, I mean, I had a friend. She's not one of my closest friends, but she is a friend. And when she found out that my ex had remarried, she said, oh, then he's not gay anymore. And I thought, what? He's not gay anymore since he got married to another woman. So people don't get it. And so I think that would be an awesome book for you to write is people can say the darndest things when they need it.
Especially when it comes to this, right?
Yeah, you know, and
unaware.
I don't know if your listeners have come across this, I think when you finally get bold enough to be able to talk about it, I've had three reactions. I've had support, and I've had the deer in the headlights look like they don't quite know how to respond, and then I've also had the very uncomfortable people that try to change the subject. So you go through the gambit with all the different reactions from people. And like I said, I don't shout it from the rooftops, but I also refuse to live in the closet any longer. So if someone asks me, I don't hesitate to tell them that the reason we divorced was because that he was gay. And I think that's kind of taking your power back and by being able to talk about it in a way that maybe some people don't understand, but you have to be able to be honest.
It's true. But it just really saddens me getting back to where we originally started from. So, like, tonight, you know, even though I'm talking to you, who I love you, and you always make me happy to talk to you, I'm just feeling sad now. And number one, you know, that there's so much prejudice that's still out there that will always be there, and sometimes you need to be reminded of that. And on a night like this, you know, when that gentleman called in, you know, it's a big reminder that, you know, as far as we think we've come, we really haven't come that far at all. Mm-hmm. And also about the article, you know, that we were discussing earlier about, you know, how many gay men there are in the country. And, you know, once again, this article was saying 5% that are willing to come out, but how many who aren't willing to. which, you know, I think really accounts for millions of people who are, you know, in these marriages. But to me, the saddest part is thinking that this man's married for, by the way, back to the article, these results suggest that the closet remains a major factor in American life. For a comparison, about 3.6 of American men tell anonymous surveys they are attracted to men, and a tenth of gay men say they do not tell most of the important people in their lives. You know, there's so many people who are living in the closet because they're not coming out. But, you know, and I don't even care about that. I only care about the ones who get married to women, because there are a lot of gay men who will stay in their closets, and they're perfectly welcome to do that. They don't have to have this goal to tell anybody. But they don't have to marry somebody just to bring that other person down into a world that they don't want to be in. I mean, that doesn't even have any sense of fairness. You don't want to be gay, so, okay, I'll marry a woman, and that way I don't have to be gay. I mean, no, that's not how it works. And I think about this poor woman who's married for 40 years and not knowing why that they're not making love, why they're not intimate, why he doesn't have sex with her. And I think about, you know, the night she goes to bed crying, wondering, you know, why she's not good enough for her husband to want her. I mean, what about her whole life? I mean, four decades of her life, her whole adult life. I mean, she's probably 60 now. And maybe she could have had a wonderful man who could have nurtured her and given her the support she needs to make her feel better as a woman. And what I really resent is that a lot of these men don't even think they're bad husbands. Like, they're saying, you know, well, I'm a good husband. I take care of my family. I'm financially responsible to them. You know, they think that's what it takes to be a good husband.
You know, Bonnie,
was your husband like that?
I can remember telling mine 100 times. I mean, over and over and over again. It's more, there's more to being a husband than making a living. I can support myself. I don't need a man to support me. And please don't take that the wrong way, because I know that there are women that have been out of the workforce for many years and they feel like they can't support themselves. But that's what he thought being a husband was making a living. And that, yes, that's important to a certain extent, but that was what he thought. That was his big thing with me, was telling me that he made a good living for us. But getting back to that article, there was one thing that jumped out at me, and it said, data from Match.com, one of the country's largest dating sites, which has high rates of membership for both straight and gay men, reveals a similarly large number of missing gay men in less tolerant states. This suggests that these men are not only not telling Facebook they are gay, but are also not looking for relationships online.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that no way. I believe that there are a lot of gay men that are in the closet that are on these dating sites, Match and eHarmony and whatever all the other ones are, that are looking for women. But then on the side, they may be on Craigslist or whatever. So I don't
think men for men, Adam to Adam. Yeah, they're on those lists.
And so I believe that there are a lot of men out there. And I went on Match.com just to see what was out there. And I can promise you that two of the men that contacted me, I can almost swear that they were gay men. And so I do know that there are a lot of gay men on these websites looking
Are, and they're looking for vulnerable women. And, you know, I had this conversation, you know, a couple months ago with one of our members from our, you know, Straight Wives Club, that her husband, you know, has HIV, and he advertises on Christian Mingle for a woman. And I think to myself, how many other men are like this, trying to prey on good Christian women who are trying to do the right thing, find a good Christian man, and of course when they meet these guys, they're so happy that they're not sexually, you know, all over them, you know, thinking that they're good Christian men, when in fact, you know, like her husband, there's plenty of them out there who are going to these dating sites, and in his case, you know, going to infect some innocent woman who has no idea.
Absolutely. And that's very scary, you know. And but that part jumped out at me because I am certain that there are gay men out on these websites trolling for straight women to get involved in with them. And
well, these are the kinds of guys that you are married to, Grace, you know, the straight gay men who will never come to terms with who they are sexually. They'll just go and have this kind of sex that nobody will know about or see. It'll be impersonal sex in bookstores or behind dumpsters or, you know, any place where it could be truck stops. You know, these guys will know where to go, or they get that application where they put it on their cell phone. So they're in an area, they just, you know, beep someone, and within minutes, you know, a whole bunch of guys respond to them. Grindr, you know, that app on the telephone they have.
Right.
You know, no doubt in my mind there are millions of men who are doing this, who are married to our women.
Right.
And that's the saddest part of all. And that's why so many of our women do have sexually transmitted diseases. And what really upsets me is when women suspect it and they're not even protecting themselves.
Right. And this is that, for me, they're the women that I feel the sorriest for, because the rest of us, the ones that have been married to gay men but have come away from the relationship, at least with our health intact, can move forward. But these women will never be able to have the life that they've deserved. And but I wanted to, I wrote this down because I really wanted to, I just bought the book. I'm not a fan of e-readers, and I know a lot of people are. My kids tell me I'm a dinosaur, but there's something about holding a book and reading it. But I bought a book with a gift card that was sent to me by a very, very special friend for my birthday. But it was the book about the little Pakistani girl, Malala. I cannot pronounce her last name, but she wrote a book. She's the one that was championing for education for girls in Pakistan and publicizing the atrocities by the Taliban, and she was shot twice, once in the head and in the neck. Her book is so inspiring, and I just started reading it, but she said something that just inspired me, and I'm hoping that just her words will inspire some of the women. She wrote, "Nothing changed in my life except this. Weakness, fear, and hopelessness died. Strength, power, and courage were born." And I thought, if this little girl, and she's a little girl, she was 15 when she was shot, can take that horrible thing that happened to her and not give up and to move forward with her life and still be an advocate for her country and the children of her country, then we can do that too, even though we've had something very horrible happen to us. We don't have to let it destroy us either. And I just wanted to read that because I thought that her courage and her strength have inspired me when I've been reading her book.
Grace, we have one more call for the evening.
Sure.
Let's just see. Hi, can we help you? Hello? Are you there? Well, there is somebody there, but maybe they don't want to talk. Maybe they're just listening.
Oh.
And that's fine. I mean, we are very interesting to listen to, I think. But no,
I think
it is very
inspirational.
Oh, absolutely. No, I think that is very inspirational, and that people have to overcome all kinds of horrible things. You know, I think to myself, what people have overcome is so great compared to what we have to overcome. But I always say you can't compare pain and you can't compare sorrow. Everybody handles it differently. But it's so true that, you know, we have to move forward, we have to move on, and nobody's pressuring anyone. It takes time. And, you know, I think one of the great things is if people could go to gayhusbands.com, and if you go on to the right-hand side of my website there and you see Grace has a beautiful blog that, you know, I think a lot of people really tell me how much they love reading what you have to write. You're a really beautiful writer. and you're so able to express your feelings in there and the things that you've gone through and give people hope, but also, you know, you always hit it on the head. And, you know, I'm hoping that one day you'll turn all of this into a book, because people will love reading what you have to write. I always get wonderful comments back about it.
I've been overwhelmed by the response that I've gotten from my blog just about every day when I open up the email address for my blog. I will have about 4 or 5 comments from something that I've written, and it is overwhelming and very heartwarming to hear that women have responded to something that I've written on there, and it makes me happy that at least I can touch them in a way where they understand that there's someone else that has gone through what they're going through, you know, so.
One of the things I do want to tell, I have to tell my friend Mike from Linked Investigations, who will be our guest in January, and I love Mike because he always has great ideas for women as far as checking up on their husbands. But I love how you call it the investigator. I love that term. I'm going to let him know that you've now coined the term for his firm for women who are checking up on their gay husbands. He's the investigator.
Yes.
That is just a gay investigator.
Yeah.
Wasn't that true? How we really became our best detectives and investigators,
yes.
You know, finding truth.
Yes, absolutely. The one blog post that I've got the most response from, which really surprised me, was a blog post that I wrote called "The Pen Is on the Desk," and I was amazed at the women that wrote to me and said that thank you for the laugh. It wasn't really meant to be funny, but I think it came across as funny.
It was.
But,
as you said, I have it here. It says, every time I type "the pen is on the desk," I not space between the pen and "is." So you type "the penis is on the desk." The penis
right.
on the desk. And she did not find it as amusing as I had and made me take the paper home for my parents to sign. Needless, my father was furious and did not believe it was an accident, despite my insistence. He signed the paper, but grounded me for a week and told me to never let it happen again. I thought that was very funny. And it says, now fast forward 30 years, my daughter was visiting for a few days. I was overjoyed to have her. After all, I was unknowingly living with a gay man, and my days and nights were very lonely. About 10 o'clock one morning, she and I were sitting in the living room drinking coffee and talking when the gay man stormed in. She went into a tirade about not being a pen on the desk. I followed him to his office as he continued his rant. There were a dozen pens and a glass on a shelf above his computer. He was completely enraged by this time and screamed that he wanted a pen on his desk, not in the glass. Irrational, yes. After he departed, my daughter looked at me and asked, "What was that?" My response was, "Welcome to my world." I was accustomed to his behavior. That dang pen on the desk caused me the grief once again. Which I thought was very funny.
Yep. And there was penises on that desk, as a matter of fact, on the computer on that desk. So it had come full circle for me after 30 years, the penis on the desk.
That is so funny.
But
anyway, let's just take one more call. Hold on one moment.
Sure.
Hi, this is Bonnie and Grace.
Hi, Bonnie and Grace.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes. We can
Hi.
Hear you.
First of all, I wanted to call to say that, first, I'm biased because I love both of you women. I'm one of the women from the Straight Wives Club. And
okay.
I listen to, I read Grace's blog in the past. And, Bonnie, you're just always so spectacular. So that goes without saying. Couple things.
Thank
Grace
you.
Made some You're welcome. Grace made some wonderful comments, and I was taking note before the young man called in. And while I agree that we respect his position, it changed the whole dynamics of the call for a minute, because then we have to think about all the special things that Grace was saying and your response. And so I wanted to just call in briefly to say thank you so much for what you guys do for us and how you have enabled and empowered us to be stronger women living with gay husbands. And I just felt compelled to say that. If I had to pick one thing, because I know I don't know how much time you guys have, I wanted to talk about Grace made a comment on how they turn on the person that's caring for them. And she also, and I think that is so huge. And also, they believe that if a husband is making a living, then they feel like that's all their role, that, you know, they're so empowered and strong because of that. I'm going through so much of that in my marriage to my gay husband. It's coming to an end. I have no confession, but I just listen to you guys, and I'm in such a dark space, and I'm getting stronger. But without this show, Bonnie, and without what you do for us, I don't believe I would have made it. It's only been about 6-7 months.
Thank you so much, and that's why, you know, I do it every week, you know, and I call on people like Grace to help me out. I have some great support people, you know, Dr. Hooper and Suzette and, you know, the other people who come on here, because I know it's so important to make a connection that women from, you know, all over, not just here but also around the world, just feel so isolated and alone. You know, when you're going through this, you feel like nobody understands me. Nobody knows what this is like. And you do, I mean, as many, even though there's millions of us, we still feel like we're the only ones going through this. So that's why the show is important to me, to make sure that people out there know that there is support. But all you have to do is reach out and we're there. So I appreciate you mentioning
Absolutely.
That. So these guys
I really had to.
They marry us. You know, they promise to love us, and then they turn on us because they, you know, feel like we're keeping them prisoners. And they really, you know, for many of us, they really, really torture us. And I feel so bad for so many women who really have husbands who just can't be honest and do the right thing. And then sometimes even when they get caught and they have to be honest, then they just try to, you know, make you suffer more. You know, they just can't be a gentleman about it and say, no, I screwed up. I'm really sorry. I destroyed many years of your life. What can I do to make it up? I mean, I would at least have some respect for them if they do that. But so many of these guys just keep torturing you, right?
Absolutely. And the key is how you said when they're closeted, Grace mentioned that they're closeted narcissistic men. They won't change. I came back from Thanksgiving, and my husband, I found a receipt in his bag that he bought a woman flowers. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? You've been tormenting me, and now you have the nerve to buy a mixed bouquet for someone? Everything, the points you guys made tonight really resonated with me, and I would be remiss if I didn't call in and say thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Now you can come to Houston and see us both.
That's exactly what I was going to ask her, if she was going to try to make it to Houston, because I think you would, I know you would be so inspired, and it will help you so much in moving forward. So if you can make it to Houston, try every way you can.
I'm going to be coming, Grace. I'll see you there.
Great.
Grace and I will
give
you a big hug. Trust me on that one.
Yes.
Well, thank you
so much.
Okay. Thank you for calling in and just reiterating what we keep saying over and over, and your life is going to be better. Trust me.
Thank you, and thank you for all the love and all the hugs, and happy holidays.
You too. Thanks so much for calling in. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that was ending on an – right, Grace?
That was so awesome. That was so awesome.
See, your words are so important. They really inspire people. You have to keep writing.
Okay.
Right?
I will. I apologize that I haven't had any posts in a while, but things have been busy, but I will get back to it, and it makes me happy to know that people are reading it and learning a little bit more about the fact that they're not alone.
Exactly. Well, Grace, we had a wonderful hour and some, and I really appreciate you doing this. because you do inspire women, as I keep telling you, and now you hopefully believe it. So that means you have to come back soon again. I hope you don't mind, but...
You know I'd do anything in the world for you.
Thank you, Grace. You know I love you, and I'll be seeing
you
in a few more weeks. It's only a few weeks away.
Yeah, it'll be long now, huh?
Yeah, we have January and February, and I'll be there giving you that big hug.
I can't wait, Bonnie.
And everybody have a wonderful week. We have support chat. We have our radio show. We have my monthly newsletter. If you want to get in on any of it, write to me at bonk@aol.com. Or better yet, come meet us in Houston. You'll see Grace. You'll see me and some wonderful other women. All right, everybody, and Grace, love to you all, and have a wonderful week, and I'll be back here again next week. Bye-bye, Grace.
Good night.
I love you.
Good night, Bonnie. Love you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye.